Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podcast of 1,000 Holds. My name is Mike. Just recently, New Japan Pro Wrestling finished up their Best of the Super Juniors 25th Annual Tournament. The finals took place at Korakuen Hall on June 4th. It was a great tournament. You can find all the tournament matches on New Japan World. It's well worth the 999 yen a month. I think it was $9.52 for me for the month of June. It's well worth the money for the amount of amount and the quality of matches that you get. I mean, for those that don't know, the contenders in the Best of the Super Juniors this year, it's broken down into two blocks, an A block and a B block. They do a round robin style tournament with all the competitors wrestling all the competitors in the A block, and all the competitors in the B block wrestling all the competitors in the B block, and then the top winners from each of the blocks then take each other on in the finals, and the winners crown the Best of the Super Junior for that year. The A block featured recent Noah crossover, the new Bone Soldier for the Bullet Club, Taiji Ishimori, Will Ospreay, ACH, Bushi, Flip Gordon, Tiger Mask 4, Yo of Roppongi Vice, Roppongi 3K, and Kanemura. B block featured Hiromu Takahashi, Kushida, Marty Scurll, Chris Sabin, Dragon Lee, El Desperado, Taguchi, and Sho from Roppongi 3K. The finals came down to Taiji Ishimori, who had 10 points, and Hiromu Takahashi, who had 10 points. You get 2 points for a win, you get 1 point for a loss, and you get, 1 point for a tie and 0 points for a loss. For me, the finals match, where Hiromu Takahashi defeated Ishimori to win the title, was a fantastic match. They definitely let the rules fly on this one. They started outside the ring. They wrestled around the crowd. They used chairs, a couple table bumps. They got back in the ring. The match really picked up momentum and pace as it went, and it had a really great explosive finish at the end where the ticking time bomb captured the, I believe it's his first Super Juniors title. But also on the card, I did not watch every single solitary match. One match I made sure to watch, and it was just phenomenal. Dragon Lee versus Hiromu Takahashi. I saw these guys wrestle live in Ring of Honor back at All Star Extravaganza 8 in 2016. And I was blown away by both of them. It was the first time I'd ever seen either one of them. And they, an amazing feud. I've since seen them wrestle a match in Mexico. Well, not in person, but on like YouTube or TV or whatever, and I've seen them wrestle, square off each against each other in like multi-man matches, tag matches, 8-man, 10-mans, whatever. They never failed to impress me, and this match was no different, as they went over 20 minutes to stun us, to amaze us, you know, and to make us wanting to see them wrestle yet another time. June 9th, 2018 in Osaka, Japan. It's New Dominion 6-9 in Osaka Joe Hall. This is a stacked card, with the main event being the much-hyped, much-anticipated fourth match encounter between IWGP Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada, the longest reigning and essentially greatest IWGP champion of all time. He's held the title longer and in one single run than anybody else ever. And he's also had more title defenses than anyone else ever. And he is taking on Kenny Omega for their fourth match. They currently are at 1-1-1 with a win, a loss, and a draw. And this would be a 2 out of 3 falls match with no time limit, which is phenomenal. Also on the card, Suzuki-Gun and El Desperado and Kanemura defeating on Roppongi 3K, defending their IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships. Taguchi Japan and Juice Robinson and Dave Finley taking on Jay White and Yoshihashi in a tag team match. Also in a tag team match, Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii taking on Suzuki-Gun of Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. I feel like Yano and Ishii are going to not fare well in this. Hiroki Goto is going to be challenging Michael Elgin and Taichi for the three-year match for the Never Open Weight title. Los Ingobernables de Japón, Sonata and Evil will be defending their IWGP Tag Team Championship against the Young Bucks and Nick and Matt Jackson. Nick and Matt finally getting that first heavyweight title match. tag team title match, and I feel like the Young Bucks are going to walk away with the titles tonight. Taguchi Japan and Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr. making his New Japan debut are going to be taking on the Bullet Club and Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll in a six-man tag. IWGP Junior Heavyweight title matches. Hiromu Takahashi takes on Will Ospreay, and hopefully Takahashi's looking to recapture the title. The IWGP Intercontinental Championship is going to be on the line as Tetsu Naito defends against Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho in New Japan has been awesome. The stories he's telling, the promos he's allowed to cut. I mean, him attacking Naito out of the crowd in Fukuoka and bloodying Naito, it was stupendous. And then, like I said, in the main event, Okada taking on Kenny Omega. This is a can't-miss show. It's on at 3:30 in the morning Eastern Time on New Japan World. Well worth the $10 a month. I'll be watching it Friday night to Saturday morning at 3:30 in the morning. I probably won't be able to finish the
2 out of 3 falls match until I get home. But it does look like it's going to be a fantastic can't-miss card.
One of my all-time favorite matches took place when I was only 6 years old. Now, I don't remember the exact first time I saw the match, but I do know I was young. My dad had rented the tape from the video store for me, like he did a lot for me, was renting me wrestling tapes. And then later on in life, I bought a copy of a tape that had this match on it. And I've seen this match well over 100 times. And it never gets old. I never stop loving it. It never fails to excite me. And that match is the world famous I Quit Steel Cage match between Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard for the United States Championship at Starrcade in 1985. Let's break it down a little bit more. The date, November 28th. The venues. That's right, venues. The Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina, and the Omni in Atlanta. This is back before pay-per-view. This was shown on closed-circuit TV, so people could go to theaters and other places around the country and watch this via satellite to these facilities, much like the first WrestleMania, which wasn't on pay-per-view either. Jim Crockett Promotions' first pay-per-view wasn't until Starrcade 1987. The folks at the Omni and the folks at the Greensboro Coliseum, they would have large screens lowered down so they could see the action that was taking place at the other venue. Which, I guess it would kind of seem weird to be at a wrestling show with a wrestling ring, and yet I'm watching a big screen of wrestling that's happening someplace else. I guess, though, then again, a lot of people, when they go to big venues to watch wrestling, they find they're watching the big screen up high to watch the match that's happening in front of them. So, maybe it's not so strange. I don't know. They would jump back and forth from one venue to the other on the matches. Like, for instance, the first match of the night took place at the Greensboro Coliseum featuring Crusher Krychek, who went on to become Barry Darso or Demolition Smash, defeating Sam Houston for the NWA Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship. Next up from the Omni in Atlanta was Manny Fernandez defeating Abdul the Butcher with Paul Jones in a Mexican death match. And of course, it's Manny Fernandez, it's Abdul the Butcher. It was a bloodbath. Match number 3 of the night. A Texas bull rope match featuring outlaw Ron Bass defeating Black Bart with James J. Dillon in his corner. Now, per the pre-match stipulation, Ron Bass got to get his hands on James J. Dillon in a Texas bull rope match that, due to nefarious needs, Dillon would go on to win. Next up, match number 5 took place in the Omni, and it was an arm wrestling contest where superstar Billy Graham defeated the Barbarian with Paul Jones by disqualification. And right after that, we got a singles match of superstar Billy Graham wrestling the Barbarian. And once again, superstar was awarded the contest by disqualification. Match number 7, back at the Greensboro Coliseum. Buddy Landell with James J. Dillon defeating NWA National Heavyweight Champion Terry Taylor for the title in just over 10 minutes. We head back over to the Omni in Atlanta, where the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Ole and Arn Anderson, defeated Wahoo McDaniel and Billy Jack Haynes to retain their NWA National Tag Team titles. Heading back to the Greensboro Coliseum for the 9th match of the night, that's when we find my all-time favorite match on this card and one of my all-time favorite matches just in general. Top five, definitely. I Quit Steel Cage Match for the NWA United States Heavyweight Championship, where Magnum DA defeated Tully Blanchard with Baby Doll in his corner to win the title in 14, almost 15 minutes. I'm going to come back to talk about this match in great detail. 10th match on the card. Jimmy Valiant with Miss Atlanta Lively, who was Rugged Ronnie Garvin in drag, which that was, yeah. With Big Mama in the corner, defeated the Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey with James E. Cornette, and an Atlanta street fight. 11th match on the card. Main event for the Greensboro Coliseum. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson with Don Carnoodle in their corner, taking on the NWA World's Tag Team Champions, Ivan and Nikita Koloff, the Evil Russians, with Crusher Khrushchev in their corner, and the Rock and Roll Express walk away with the titles, sending the crowd home happy in a steel cage match that was a bloodbath. And the main event at the Omni, the main event of Starrcade that year, the 12th match on the card, features the American Dream Dusty Rhodes defeating NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, in 22 minutes for the NWA World's Championship. Now, listen to how stacked that card was. Because back in the day, the NWA promoters would send a lot of their top names to the Crockett promotion for Starrcade. You know, starting with 83, 84, now in 85. They know this is a big money maker for them. They know this is great exposure for them. So they want to have their top guys on this card. I mean, there were so many great wrestlers on this card. Just, I mean, alone, you have former WWF World Champions in Ivan Koloff and Superstar Billy Graham. You have one of the greatest tag teams of all time in the Rock and Roll Express. Another one of the greatest tag teams of all time in the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Arn and Ole Anderson. You know, Wahoo McDaniel's on the card. The Midnight Express is on the card. You got Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair. And like I said, one of my all-time favorite matches featuring one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, Tully Blanchard, wrestling Magnum TA. Now, we all know, or at least most of us know, Magnum TA, unfortunately, had his career ripped away from him in a vehicle crash that injured him with injuries he's still dealing with to this day, 32 years later. I did have the pleasure of meeting Magnum TA at NWA Legends Fan Fest in 2009, so I could tell him how important this match was to me, how much this match meant to me. And at that same event, I had the pleasure of meeting Tully Blanchard to tell him the same. And I'm not going to lie, when it came to Tully Blanchard, I got all clammed up. I had trouble talking, but I managed to squeak out what I wanted to say. With Magnum TA, didn't have that same fanboy experience. I was still excited, but it just wasn't there for me like it was with Tully Blanchard, so it was a lot easier for me to say what I needed to say and sound intelligent. And he did appreciate my comments and my sentiments about a match that, to me, is probably the greatest match of his career. Had he not been injured from that car crash, had he managed to continue wrestling, I mean, it's no secret that he would have been the NWA World's Champion. And, you know, some of his matches with Ric Flair were pretty phenomenal. But, I mean, the championship title swapping back and forth between the two of them, just the series of matches that were robbed from us because of his injury. I mean, who knows, I guess. So the premise of this match was Magnum and Tully had traded the United States Championship. And right now, Tully had the title. And, of course, they've had a very violent feud for months over this championship. And finally, to put it to rest, they're going to have themselves an I Quit match. They're going to do it inside a steel cage. And, of course, the referee's going to be in there, not to count the fall, but to hold the microphone. Now, most I Quit matches feature the same thing. One wrestler yelling into the microphone to say it, and the other guy grunting and, you know, breathing heavy and finally screaming no. So that happens, obviously. But these two guys literally just beat the piss out of each other. I mean, they were laying their shots in. They were, you gotta watch this match. It's on the WWE Network. You gotta watch this whole show. This whole show is worth watching. But again, the veracity with which Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard went at each other, you know, you would sit there and go, you know, maybe some of this stuff is predetermined, but these guys hate each other. These guys are trying to hurt each other. And there was nothing more evident than near the end of the match when Baby Doll, the Perfect 10, threw a wooden chair in the ring. And Tully Blanchard broke the chair and pulled off a section of the chair that it had a spike in it, for Christ's sakes. I mean, literally, it was a piece of like the leg, and then there was literally a spike coming off the side of it that that Tully Blanchard tried to drive into Magnum TA's head. And watching these two guys struggle over this stake, this wooden stake that Tully's trying to run Magnum through with, I mean, he eventually did make some contact with Magnum's head with it, but Magnum managed to reverse it, and he got the stake, and he just drove it into Tully's head. And the blood poured down Tully's face. I mean, prior to this, Tully was busted open. His arm was cut, his forehead was cut, Magnum TA was busted open from going into the steel, but when Magnum drove that spike into Tully's head, blood just started pouring down Tully's face. And he never said, "I quit." He yelled, "Yes, yes, yes, I," and then Magnum threw him to the ground. The referee called for the bell, apparently saying yes was good enough. But it's an I quit match. You're supposed to say I quit. You know, and I never heard Tully say I quit. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. Magnum wins the title, walks away with the championship. You know, there was no losers in this match. Yes, the babyface won. The bad guy got what he had coming to him, I mean. But it wasn't the end for these two. Again, I love this match. I watched this match over 100 times. I'm probably going to go watch it right now after talking about it because I need to watch it again. Even though I watched it to talk about it, I'm going to have to go watch it again. So that's one of my all-time favorite matches. You cannot go wrong by watching the whole event on the network. But if you haven't seen this match, at least go out of your way to watch that one match above all.
Thanks for listening this week. If you'd like to reach out to me, tell me what your favorite match is or what you're looking forward to for New Japan Pro Wrestling this weekend at the Noon and Banging Show. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at SuperstarML. I have deleted the Thousand Holds Pod Twitter page. We still have the Facebook page. I'm not going to be maintaining it anymore. That's going to be maintained by Ronnie or others. So if you want to talk to me directly, the SuperstarML Twitter is the best way to go. Please also check out my blog, thewrestlinginsomniac.com, where me and Brandon and Roy post some great thoughts on our views on pro wrestling, shows we've been to, events we've attended, and thanks.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!